Okay, so we're on the bottom of Chavav Amud Beis, that Mishnah. So the Mishnahs were talking about how to bring the various karbanos to the mizbeach, how many different karbanim you need. So the Mishnah says an ayil, a ram, kariv b'echadasar. You need 11 karbanim to bring up the ayil. Habasar b'chamisha, the different meat of the animal, you need 5 different karbanim. Rashi says kekevesh, rather ha-tamid. The way the tamid is broken up, 5 of them were actually used for the meat. The other 8 of them were used for different things. 5 of them for the meat. Then hakrevayim, the intestines, vasolas, so the flour, the mincha that accompanies it, vahayayin, the wine libation, bishnaim shnaim. Each of those required 2. So the krevayim, solas, vahayayin times 2 is 6, and plus the 5 of the meat, that totals 11.
What's the ayal?
The ayal is as a ram. So for
what's it being brought?
So let's say for the, it's brought for a few different, we saw in the beginning of Yuma, for Rosh Hashanah, it's brought on Shavuos. I think those 2 times it's brought, right? Let's see, let's say exactly which ones they're on for. Let's see. Right, so according to the Rambam says it's brought for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and the Musaf of various Mu'adim, they bring an aisle. So when the aisle is brought, you need a total of 11. So then Misha continues and says, Par haba, par, if you bring a par, so then karev be'esim varba. So if you bring the cow, so then there are 24, you need 24 different quantum. Harosh varegel. In terms of the Rosh and the Regel, those are the first 2 things brought. The Rosh requires the cow members huge compared to the other animals. So Rosh Be'echa, that's 1 person for the Rosh. HaRegel B'Shnaim, you need 2, 1 for each Regel, I believe. Or maybe even 1 Regel. Is that talking about 1 Regel or both Regel? See? Right, okay. So 1 Regel. So that you need 2 quantum to bring 1 Regel. And then you have HaOketz, which is the tail, VaRegel, HaOketz B'Shnaim, and v'haregel b'shnaim, so another 4. Hachazah v'hagerva, hachazah be'echad, hagerva b'shlosha. You need 3 for the neck part, actually. Shtei yodayim b'shnaim, shtei defanos b'shnaim, hakrevayim v'asolos v'yayim b'shlosha, shlosha 3 for each of those. You do all the math, you can get up, end up with 24 total quantum for the par. But medra amurim b'karbanos tzibur, what's this referring to? All the above previous mishnayos of how to split up the bringing of the animals. That's referring to when the animals are carbon tzibur. But when it comes to personal carbon, a person brings a cow as an ola, chatas, whatever it might be. So if a kohen's bringing it, the kohen's allowed to bring everything he wants. He could go back and forth as many trips as it requires. Only by the carbon tzibur, we're talking about how it has to be split up. So the Mishnah concludes the line. We're about Chavdal Mebeit, Chavvav Mebeit, that last Mishnah. The Mishnah concludes, Hefshetan v'nisuchan shal elu v'elu shavim. When it comes to skinning the animal and cutting up the meat to the different limbs, that everybody agrees is equal. Both Karban Tzibur and Karban Yochanan have the same din, which is what? So the halacha is, Rashi tells us the very last line, Hefshetan v'nisuchan, the skinning and the cutting up of the meat, shall tzibor v'shal yachid shavin, they're both equal. Leyos kisherim bazar, azar, non-coin is allowed to do the skinning and the cutting up of the meat. So the Gemara says, now, Tana.
Just so I understand, the island that we're talking about here, these are payasos that take place at the same time that the Tamid Shal Shachar, the payas where the Tamid Shal Shachar takes place?
I don't think these were payasos. Maybe they were, actually. I didn't even think about that. I just thought how it gets split up. That they need to be split up among 24 and 11 quantum. How it gets split up? That's a good question. So
she says under Bamed Bar Mamur.
So I guess you'd have to say by the carbon tamid, you'd have to split these up also. So I don't know if it went down the line after you had the 13 for the tamid, then they had the next 11 for the aisle and 24 for the cow. I didn't think about that. So we haven't seen anywhere that there's a separate pious for it. So I don't know how it works practically. So the Gemara says, Tana hefshitan v'nisuchan shavin bizar. So that's what the Brisa says. What does it mean that they're equal? In terms of the skinning and the cutting up of the meats, they're both equal, namely a carbon yachid, a carbon tzibur, that a zar is allowed to do this. So Amar Chizki, minayin lehefshit v'nisucha nisuach sheshava bizar. How do you know, Chizki asks, how do you know, what's the source, that a zar is allowed to skin the animal, a zar is allowed to cut up the different parts of the animal? So he says, Shenemar v'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish ha-mizbech. So the pasuk here says, I don't have a chumash in front of me, I don't have the previous pasuk, but the previous pasuk says, talks about the skinning and the nisuchan. Then the very next pasuk is what we have in the Gemara here, v'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen eish ha-mizbech. So it says, nisinas ha-eish ba-ikuna, the placing of the fire in the mizbech, that requires a kohen, but the previous pasuk, namely, the previous pasuk about skinning the animal and cutting up the animal, that does not require a coin. Dafka, the nasnu bnei aron, a coin ala eish requires a coin. Next stage doesn't. Mar says that's not a good source. Because hami bari le legufay, that pasuk you need to teach me for itself. How do you know that the fire needs to be placed by a coin? Because the pasuk says, vinasnu bnei aron do it. So you need Bnei Aaron to teach me that Eish requires it. And therefore, since it's used for one drasha, you can't make a dik to teach me something about the previous pasuk, namely Hefshet v'nisuach. So that can't be the source. So the Gemara goes further and says, Amar Rav Simi bar Ashi, Ashka chasei le'abai dehav misfar le'libre. I found once Abai was explaining the logic to his son. What'd he say? He said, V'shachat, pasuk says, Shchita bazar k'shera. So here you learn that Shchita can be done by a non-kohen. How do you know that everything has to be done by Kohen to come to tell me that the Shechita can be done by the Zar? Where is he coming from that he says the Shechita is Kasher Bazar? So he says, Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vata uvanecha itcha tishmur eskuna aschem. The Pasuk in Karach says, you and all your children, Aaron, have to protect the Kuna, meaning only you could do it. Shemeh ani, I would have understood. Afilu Shechita, even Shechita, everything related to Karbanos has to be done Aidea Kohen. So Tamalomer v'shachar is ben habakar l'fnei Hashem. The pasuk says that he shechs it, and then it says in that very same pasuk v'krivu bnei Aaron ha'kohanim es hadam. You shecht it, and then the kohanim are makriv it. So makriv, they make a drash in the Gemara in Zvachim and elsewhere. Hakrava here refers to kabbalah when you're makabel the dam. So the diak is me kabbalah ve'elach mitzvah kuna. So only from the Hekrivu Bnei Aaron, only from the Kabbalah do you require Bnei Aaron. But before the Kabbalah, mainly the previous Avoda, or previous Maisa, the Shechita, does not require Kohen, you require a Zar. So this is the source. And then the Gemara goes on to say, V'samach Yado, V'shachat. Samach Yado, referring to the Baal, places his hands, he does Smicha, he has to do the Vidoy, he does Smicha, and then it says Shechita. So the Baal who's doing Smicha is the same person who's allowed to do the Shechita. Limeid, they come to teach me, Ala Shechita Shekshir Bazar, Shechita is Kesher Bazar. So, now this braisa is a little bit confusing because the braisa here seems to bring two different sources as to why the Zar is able to do Shechita. The various achronim try to figure out what exactly is going on. I'm not going to get into that now, but it seems like there are two different sources that point to the same thing, namely a Zar could do a Shechita. So once we've established that a Zar does a Shechita, so the Gemara says, now, where we go here. Why do you have to teach me? Let me skip the line here. Michti mikabal ve'elach mitzvah kuna. So now we learn after Shechita, from Kabbal and on, you require a kohen. So nasnu bnei Aaron lamali. Why do you have to teach me that the bnei Aaron have to place the fire on the mizbech? That's something that the only thing that's excluded is Shechita. Everything else requires a kohen. So says the Gemara. Hold on 1 second. Look at this pasuk. So why mention again that a kohen has to do the eish? Kohen has to do everything except for shechita. The Gemara says lemut, they must be coming to it's extra. It's superfluous. You don't need it. You don't need it for the gufe because you have it from elsewhere. It must be coming to exclude something. What's it coming to exclude? Lemute hefshet v'nisuach, to come to exclude that skinning and the chopping up of the meat does not need to be done by a kohen. So that's the source that they could do hefshet v'nisuach. So the Gemara asks v'akati yisterich. You still need the pasuk of Nasum Bnei Aaron for it itself. I would have thought, since the placing of the fire on the Mizbech is not Makiv, the Kuna, because it's only the Dam, the sprinkling of the Dam, which is Makiv, and that's the Kabara. But putting the limbs on the Mizbech is not Makiv, the Kabara. So maybe since it's not such an important Avoda, maybe you don't require a Kohen. Kamashman, therefore I need the pasuk de baikuna. So you do need the pasuk v'nasu bnei Aaron to teach me that it itself requires a kohen, and you can't make a dik about anything else like hefshet v'nisuach. So Gemara says, no ela mehachat, bring another pasuk. V'archu bnei Aaron ha'kohanim es ha'nesachim es ha'rosh v'es ha'pader. That the kohanim have to organize their different meats on top of the mizbeach. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Why do you have to mention Bnei Aaron here also? Michti. Mikabala ve'elech mitzvah kuna. From the point of Kabbalah and on, it has to be done Aydei Kohen. V'archu lomli. Why does it have to specifically mention that Arhu also require Kohanim? We already established from Kabbalah and on, a Kohen is supposed to do it. Arhu lomli. Why do you need Arhu? Lim'ute come to exclude something. Hefshet v'nisuach. It must be extra. What's the extra coming to teach me? You're right. You don't need to teach me anything about the Arhu, about the organizing of the meats. It must be making a dik to something else, namely that Hefshet v'nisuach does not require a Kohen. V'emel mutei see there. No. Okay. Now that we've established the Arhu as a Bnei Aaron Kohanim is extra. It's coming to teach me about something else. Whoever said it's coming to teach me about a Hefshet v'nisuach that can be done by a Zar. Maybe the aim of the Gemara says, maybe Lamute Sidr Shnei Gzir Eitzim. Maybe it's coming to exclude the organization, the placing of the two logs on top of the Mizbech, that doesn't need to be done through a Kohen. But maybe Hefshet v'nisuach does need to be done Aydei Kohen. How do you know what the Dik is coming to teach us? So the Gemara says, Mistavra Divcha de Kavase Mimar. Divcha, switch a dal with a zayin. So Zivcha. So logical, we're talking about a Zevach like itself, meaning the Pasuk's talking about V'archu Bnei Aaron HaKohanim and Nesachim, when the Kohen is organizing the carbon itself, the Zevach itself on the Mizbech. So seemingly it's coming to exclude a similar halacha regarding a Zevach, namely the skinning and the Nisuach does not have to be done by Kohen, as opposed to excluding something about wood, nothing to do with a Zevach. We're talking in the realm of Zevachim, not in the realm of Eitzim. So that's why it's more logical to say it's excluding the skinning as opposed to the Shnei Gzir Eitzim. Where I said, no, I'll tell you otherwise. Ad Rabba, Seder de Kavasim Mimayit. We're talking about the realm, let's organize in a different way, in terms of Seder. The Pasuk is talking about organizing the meats on the Mizbech. That should be excluding something organizing the wood on the Mizbech. They're both in the realm of organizing. So maybe it's coming to exclude again Seder Shnei Gzir Eitzim. So Gemara says, Lo Sakar Daitach, you would never have thought to exclude Shnei Gzir Eitzim. Damar Mar, because Mar says, V'hikri v'akon yasakol ha-mizbecha, that the Kohen has to bring everything close to Mizbech. What's that coming to refer to? Zu halachas evarim lakevesh. This is referring to bringing the limbs onto the ramp. The dik is only bringing the meat to the ramp requires a coin, but the dik we're making from this pasuk is, but bringing the wood to the ramp does not require a coin. So now that we've established that certainly you don't require a coin for Shnei Gzir Eitzim, what's left is that it must be making a dik referring to Hefshet v'nisuach also does not require a coin. So Gemara says, V'archu lamali. So, okay, I said what the Gemara just said, but the Gemara says it straight out now. So, therefore, v'archu lamli, what's archu coming to exclude? Lemute hefshet v'nisuach, that too does not require a kohen. So, what we stand right now is that both Shnei Gzir Eitzim and hefshet v'nisuach do not require kohanim, but they learned that from different sources. Did I skip the line here? Yeah? Yeah, did I? I'll read this again then. Again, holach is evarm lakevesh u'debay kuna. Holachas evarim lakevesh hu debaykuna. Holachas etzim lo baykuna. Ha sidur shnei gzir etzim baykuna. So v'archu lamali. Oh, maybe you're right. I did.
Because we're coming out here now. Shnei gzir etzim does need
a kohen. It's the etzim, the other word, not shnei gzir etzim. Okay, you're very right. I'm sorry about that. So again, the pasuk here is telling me that bringing of the evarim require kohen. Bringing of the wood, not the shnei gzir etzim, but the other wood for the maracha does not require kohen, but the shnei gzir etzim do require kohen. So now that we've established Shnei Gzir Eitzim do require Kohen, so what's V'archu Lamli, what's the word Arhu coming to teach me? That only placing the limbs on the Mizbeach require Kohen, but Lemute Hefshet V'nisuach, to come to exclude skinning doesn't require. So where we stand right now is as follows, that the bringing the wood onto Mizbeach requires a Kohen, the Shnei Gzir Eitzim, those particular two logs do not require Kohen, and Hefshet V'nisuach also do not require Kohen, but they're learned out from different things. So Gemara says, "V'ema hachanami legufe." Maybe say it's needed for it itself. Which pasuk are we saying right now, referring to? V'ema. That one, yeah. So that's okay. The Gemara continues to explain. V'ema hachanami legufe. Maybe the pasuk of Arhu is needed for itself. It doesn't come to explain here. So, I see the grot takes it out. And my misisted also takes it out. So let's skip those four words now.
Why are you an Ella here if you don't have a question?
I think just stop asking a question now. Ella v'hikti akoin es hakol l'may asa. So what's this coming to teach us? It's just time a question. Ella.
It's not a third answer.
Right.
Where we know Hashem ben Yisroel is kosher bizarre.
Right. So Gemara says again, Ella v'hikti akoin es hakol l'may asa. What's this pasuk coming to teach me? This is a pasuk where. I mean, once we've established that everything from Kabbalah and on requires a Kohen, so this is a pasuk that says, V'hiktira Kohen, it's like, oh, why does this pasuk have to teach me that a Kohen does the Haktara? Of course the Kohen does the Haktara. Everything after Kabbalah, the Kohen is supposed to do. What's it coming to teach me, this pasuk? So the Gemara says, L'mu'ute hafshit v'nisuach. So this is coming to teach me hafshit v'nisuach. It doesn't require a Kohen. I think we're taking a different approach now to all the drushes now. So the Gemara said, no, that really, it's that pasuk, it's not v'archu. Up until now, we said v'archu, b'naron, akon, b'naron. Though that was the source to teach me that we're excluding hefshiv and suach. Now we're taking a completely different approach now. Really, the pasuk v'hikter, akon, sakol, l'mayal, so that comes to exclude hefshiv and suach. And the words v'hikri, akon, sakol, hamizbecha, zu holecha, sevarm, lakevesh. And that pasuk teaching me that the limbs have to be brought by kohen. Holacha say varim lakevish with the baikuna, bring the limbs need to. Holacha say etim lo baikuna. Ha shnei gzir etim baikuna, like we said before. And v'nasnu lagufei, and the pasuk of v'naso is to teach me itself that placing of the limbs on the mizbech requires a kohen. And now finally, v'aruchu, what's in the word v'aruchu? What's the pasuk of v'aruchu coming to teach me? V'aruchu is a different drasha, not to teach me anything about hefshit v'nisuach. V'aruchu shnaim, b'nei aron, shnaim, you need two. B'nei aron is mashma shnaim. Hakohanim is mashma shnayim, so you have a total of six in that pasuk. This comes to teach me lamanu l'tle shetan shisha, that the tle, the animal that's brought for the carbon tamid, requires a total of six people bring the limbs to the mizbeach. So if you look at Rashi, the last narrow line of Rashi, he does the math for us quickly. Shetan shisha, habasar b'chamisha, the different parts of the meat of the animal needs five. Vakrevayim, the intestines require another one. That's six. So that's the limud v'archu. So again, a completely different approach to understanding how do we know hefshiv v'nisuach is excluded. So the overall discussion again is, hefshiv v'nisuach certainly does not require a kohen. Azar is allowed to do hefshiv v'nisuach. The question is, what's the limud? Chizki had a whole limud. He initially learned from the words v'archu b'nyarun. Then we just deal with a number of other side issues. The Gemara here now concludes that no, really it's learned from a different pasuk, v'hiktya kohen, that haktara requires a kohen, but not hefshiv v'nisuach. And the Gemara goes on to explain what the other limud are being used for. Okay. So says the Gemara now, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Hamnuna. Kash shalei l'Reb Elazar. So the kasha to Reb Elazar. Hai b'ben habakar k'siv. U'ben habakar esen v'arba bai. So he asks, this pasuk of the arhu is in the context of talking about a par, a kohen. A par, a cow. And not talking about a tle. So how can you make a drush of arhu and b'nei aron and kohanim have six people, referring to bring a tle, when the context of the pasuk is really referring to a par, not a tle? That's the kasha he asked. V'nichale, and he answers, al ha'etzim asher al ha'esh, asher al ha'mizbeach. So the pasuk continues. Let's have the whole pasuk on the side here. I'll read the pasuk. V'ha'archu b'nei aron ha'kohanim esachim esarosh v'sapader. That's all referring to a par. But that pasuk concludes, al ha'etzim asher al ha'esh asher al mizbeach. Okay, so what's those last words in the pasuk coming to teach me? So it says the Gemara, "V'nichalei al ha'etzim asher al ha'esh asher al mizbeach ezu davar shenemar bo etzim esh mizbeach." Which is the carbon that mentions these words of wood and fire and mizbeach? Heavy omer zetle. So there's a long Rashi in the top of Amud Beis that goes on to say how the tamid, it says tam in the context of tamid, it says etzim, it says esh, it says mizbeach. So you're right. The simple reading of the pasuk is referring to par, but through the end of the pasuk, through the words esh, etim, mizbech, that tells us to make a drasha, that we should apply the beginning of the pasuk of v'archu, of six people, we should apply it to what the end of the pasuk seems to hint towards, namely that of a tle. So we learn from here that a tle is offered to mizbech through six different kohanim. Okay. Top line of Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Zar shesides hamaracha chayev. A czar now who sets up the maracha on top of the mizbech is chayim misa. So Gemara says, "Kates to oser." How is he supposed to do it? Kitsa Osa, I think the question is here, how could he undo it? Let's say he wants to, he set it up. Is there any way for him to remove what he did, undo what he had done? So Gemara says, Porco v'choza v'sotro. He should undo it, and then reestablish it, reorder it. Gemara says, what do you mean? My honey life. He v'sodra a second time. If he takes it, removes it, and reorganizes the wood on top, he hasn't accomplished anything. Ella porco zar. The zar should take off the wood, and then sudra kohen. Then a kohen be masad there, the maracha on top, and that's how he gets out of the chiyam misa. So I guess according to this, the chiyam misa only kicks in once they actually use the maracha, I guess. Is that what it's saying? Or it might simply be that it's referring to in terms of psu. Maybe he's chiyam misa anyways. The question is, let's say he does it, how do you undo what he did? How are you able to use the maracha? So but how do you undo it? So if he undoes it, and then the Kohen redoes it, then it's now kosher for use on the top of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara asks, Maskev la Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asks, V'chiyesh lecha avoda shekshirim b'layla u'psul bazar. Do we ever have such a case where something's permitted to be done at nighttime, yet a nazar can't do it? So the maracha, the sida maracha, can be performed at nighttime. But yet we see a zar as possible. Usually it has to be, most avodas, all avodas have to be done during the daytime. So when there's a daytime avoda, that's when we say a zar can't do it. But this is a nighttime avoda. And we never find that a nighttime avoda is done by a zar. So it doesn't make sense. Why is a zar chai misa for being misad the maracha if the maracha can be done by Laila? So the Gemara says, v'lo, we don't find that? What do you mean? Bahare evar ma'pudarim? Ivan Pradarim, placing the limbs, the first mission of Shas and Brachos talks about that the entire night you're allowed to be hektar chalavim, burning the fats the entire night, and yet we see that one of the four things that he cannot do as Zar is Chai Misa for is Bahaktara. So we clearly see something at nighttime is a Pasal Ay Dezar. Where it says, no, Sofa Voda Diyomahi, that's considered the end of a day, Sof Diyomamahi. It's really, right, it can be done in the nighttime, but it's really viewed as the completion of the daytime work. Okay, so let's look at the other end, the beginning of the day. The first thing in the morning that the Tzar is not allowed to do. It requires a Kohen. And that's a nighttime avoda. Chumas Hadeshin could take place before Alos HaShachar. So Gemara says, no, that's Tchilas Avodi, Diyamamahi. That's viewed as the beginning of the daytime avoda. So Damar Babasi, Amar Yochanan, Kiddush Yadav L'Chumas Hadeshin, L'Machar In Tzarech L'Kaddish, Shekfar Kiddush B'Tchilas Avoda. Because we said already a number of times that if a Kohen comes in and washes his hands for performing the Chumas Hadeshen, so the next day, meaning when at sunrise, he does not require, because he already did it from the beginning of the Avodah, Mitchilas Avodah. So we see Chumas Hadeshen is viewed as the Tchilas Avodah, the beginning of the daytime Avodah. Although it can be done at nighttime, technically, it's really the beginning of the daytime. So Gemara says, Fe'el Akasha. So then it's Akasha. I don't understand then why. If we only find that a zar is chay misa for daytime avodas, why is a zar then chayiv for being misad the hamaracha? It's a nighttime avoda, he shouldn't be chayiv. Versus kashi, it's a good point. So Ella must be kitmar hachimar. When the statement of Rav Asi in the name of Yochum was stated, it was stated in a different way. So what does it say? Hich hachimar, am Rabbi Asi, am Rabbi Yochanan, zar shesida shnei gzirei etzim chayiv. Hol v'avodas yomi. No, it's not talking about the setting up of the maracha. Remember, there are a number of different marachas. We'll get to, I think, the next parak discusses a little bit more in detail how the marachas were set up. We're not talking about the large maracha. We're talking about the special halacha of bringing these two logs that have to be placed on top of the mizbech. And that apparently had to be done during the daytime.
And the other ones, he wouldn't be chayav misa if he did it.
Exactly.
And is there any other avodah that's laila that we know that you're not chayav misa, or this is the only thing?
I think hektar chalavim is the only one. Only thing that's done at night.
Hektar chalavim is a continuation of the yoma.
Well, the Gemara didn't even answer the Gemara. That was interesting. I was wondering if someone would ask that question. But the Gemara never entertained that possibility. I'm sorry, you're right. I meant Seder Maracha. Seder Maracha is the only thing that's nighttime. And the issue is, why is that not considered Tchiyas Hayom? That should be like the beginning. That should be the beginning of the...
Exactly.
So I'm not sure why they don't answer that way. They're assuming it's a Avodah Laila for some reason.
And there's nothing else.
The place is locked down. It's on shutdown at night.
So it doesn't make... Okay.
So it must be referring to the statement where it's really stated that, again, Zar Shesidah Shnei Gzir Eitzim Chayiv Hol Avodah Yomu. Yeah.
I think it's because the Ketores... You know, the Trumas Hadeshen is part of the whole avoda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think there is a certain time that you cannot do it directly, right? It's certain that we have the time that because you have the piyus of the Truma Sedation.
Right.
So it's done after the call the Kohanim. But this could be done anytime at night, that there is no pious
work
on this. So maybe they can do it even like at 2 o'clock. If it will be open, they could have done it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
In theory, right.
Right.
But I think, but we saw, right, Truma Sedation could be done at nighttime. Remember, we saw the Yom Kippur and Regalim?
They started on the.
Okay. So it says the Gemara now.
There's 650 here.
What?
650 here.
He wants, there's upstairs.
There's one davening upstairs now in the classroom.
I'm here already, I'll ask you. Freilich Echalek, Pachnosa Scala, I'm marrying you over 2 weeks. If you could help me have a son, which is sick, it costs me a lot of money. Please appreciate it, Echalek.
Okay. So the Gemara says that the difference is, again, the statement as follows: that Zar Shasidir Shnei Gzir Eitzim Chayiv Hol Avodas Yomi. It's the one he's referring to placing of these two logs. That's considered Avodas Yom. Rashi says, he just quotes the source for this, Vavodas Yomhi, Dechsiv Uvir Aleha Koin Eitzim Baboker Baboker. That's a reference to the Shnei Gzir Eitzim, that says Dafka Baboker. So that's a daytime thing. And Vizar does it, he's Chayiv Misa. So Gemara asks, Maskla Rava, Elamiata Tibai Pious. As once it's a daytime Avoda, so shouldn't it require a Pious? It's a Chashiv Avoda. You read ahead, I guess? That's more answers. What do you mean? There's a pious for it. It's part of the Truma Sedation pious.
But that was a machlokas. Now we learned it.
Was it a machlokas? I thought that was the Mishnah said.
If the two Etzem Aracha were taken by the same person or no? No, we didn't have that.
We mentioned that there's a difference in the morning time. One coin takes it, and the night time there's two coins who take them. But the morning one had a...
Everybody agreed.
Right. So Gemara says, okay, so therefore it is actually part of the pious. So once we're discussing piasos, the main is this to say, Davodas yom by pious, avodas laila by pious. So now it seems that daytime, the very fact that Gemara asked, or Rava asked the question, that it should require a pious, since it was simply avodas yom. So now what's the criteria for requiring a pious? Is it daytime avodas require pious, and then a nighttime doesn't require a pious? Barei, it's going to be a similar line of questioning now. Barei, Evarim Pedarim, doesn't Evarim Pedarim have, it's part of the pious? It's one of the, part of the, we see Rashi says anything here? No. But Evarim Pedarim was part of the pious of the second pious of the Tamid. So we see it was part of the pious, even though it took place at night. So the Gemara says, Sof Avodah D'Yom Amahi. No, it's part of the daytime. Barei Shum Sadeshim, which had a pious, the first pious, which is also nighttime? No, Mishum Ma'isa Shahaya. They only did it because Ma'isa Shahaya, that they had the whole fight and pushed the guy over. So I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't answer here because it's Tchila Savodahi, like the Gemara answered earlier. For some reason it says it's because Ma'isa Shahaya, but Einach Hanami doesn't require one. Now that's, you remember, the Gemara had said, why wasn't there pious? The Gemara itself asked this question, why wasn't there pious B'Shum Sedeshin? Because people viewed it as a non-avoda. Since it was done Balaila, they thought it was non-avoda. Really, Be'etim, it was an avoda. So it's not like inherently something requires a pious. It's really the way it's perceived. You have to be fair in terms of giving it out. So that's perhaps why the Gemara doesn't say here, because it's considered tchias yom. Because in the eyes of the people, it wasn't viewed as tchias yom. The Gemara says, L'meimra, is this to say now, Davodas yom v'shezar chayvala misa by pious. So now we see there are really two criteria for pious. That has to be avodas yom, and also zar has to be chayv on it. Ein zar chayv aleh misa lo by pious, but if a zar is not chayv on it, there's no requirement for a pious. Why is that a requirement now? Why are we saying this is the new criteria? What changed? Oh, okay, I see. So Rava really had The Gemara had said that Zar is chayv for Shnei Gzir Eitzim because it's chayv Misa, because it's Avodas Yom. Rava asked on that, is this to say that you require Zapayas? So what's this criteria? There are two things. Based on that statement, he doesn't say what they are, but he says, how is it? Why does he think that a Shnei Gzir Eitzim require pious? Because there are two factors.
So
one is
Avodas Yom and Shizar Chayav.
Exactly. So first we're talking about the Avodas Yom. Now we're taking the other angle. Is it really true? So we've already established that something that's Avodas Yom requires a pious.
Now this, anything that's an Avodas Yom is Zar's Chayav Misa. Two is essentially
we're going to have a case where there's a Zar with Avodas Yom, but Zar is not Chayav in it. So that's the Gemara. Is that really true? Now, the two relevant criteria are that, again, it's Avodas Yom, and it's also a Zar. Those are the two criteria for requiring a pious. Is that really true? So Gemara says, V'arei Shechita. Shechita, as we said before, is Zar Kedi Shechita. It's an Avodas Yom, and it requires a pious, even though Zar is not chayiv in it. So Zar is not a requirement for a pious. Says the Gemara, Shaini Shechita Dechiles Avodasi. No, it's the beginning of the Avodah. Since the beginning of the Avodah, it's more chashiv, I guess. And therefore, even though you're right, Zar is not chayiv in it, that does warrant a it does warrant its own pious. So it's not really a very rigid criteria of what's needed. It doesn't really require a Zar. I think what's really referred to, what's considered a chashiv Avodah. That's really what it comes down to. What are people going to fight about? I want to do this, I want to do this. Well, if it's something that Zar is chayiv on, so probably it's something chashiv that only Kohanim could do. I want to do this. If it's Tchiyas Avodah, well, this is the whole Avodah starts from now, so I want to do this. So they'll fight about who's going to get it. So I think that's really what it boils down to. It's not really what's inherently chayiv and pious. It's what's perceived by the Kohanim that they're going to fight about and to divvy up in the proper way. So the Gemara goes on to say now, Amar Marzutra v'isema ravashi v'ho'onan lo tanan hachi, but we don't learn this in the Mishnah. Because Amar, the very next parak, the first Mishnah, the next daf actually, Amar lehem amamuna, the Mimuna, one of the people appointed, says, Tsuvuru, go out and see, im higiyas manashchita, go check if it's now the proper time for shechting. Meaning, did the sun rise yet? Go check, go look outside whether the sun rose. V'ilu zman shnei gzir eitzim lo katani. But it didn't mention that you require a certain time for the shnei gzir eitzim. So what's the question here? It sounds like that shnei gzir eitzim does not require the daytime. Is that what the question is?
Right.
So you don't require Shnei Gzir Eitzim for the daytime. Shnei Gzir Eitzim took place before
Shechita.
Right, because Shechita, Shnei Gzir Eitzim was done before Shechita, and Shechita is done right at sunrise. So that means Shnei Gzir Eitzim was done before sunrise. So how could you say the Gemara above say that Shnei Gzir Eitzim is Chayv Misa by Zar because it's whole Avodas Yom? It's not Avodas Yom, it's Avodas Laila.
You should also ask the question, how come they don't? How could you do a pious on something that was done already?
What do you mean in something that's done already?
You say that it says Misha Zacha Betrumat Adeshan Zacha Vishidur Maracha Vishidur Shnei Gzir Eitzim? So how could you decide who's going to do it if there was no pious yet?
I'm confused.
It says here. It says.
The Truma Zadesh and Pius.
It answered that there was that Yom by a Pius.
Right.
And what's Avodat Yom? Avodat La. What is it? It's Misha Zacha B'Trumat Hadesh and Zacha B'Sidur HaMracha B'Sereish Negzer Ezi.
So that shows us that it was part of a Pius.
Right. So how could you say that you can do it before a Pius if there is no pious?
No, the pious of the Trumas Hadeshen took place before Zman Shechita. Took like early morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, let's say. They did the pious of the Trumas Hadeshen.
Okay, so this was after the first pious, but before the Zman of Shechita. Okay.
So Gemara says we see clearly here Shnei Gzir Eitzim is not Avodas Yom. So the Gemara says, Hachte leslei takanta katani, hachte islei takanta lo takani. Something that could be fixable, namely this sidrin, let's say they did it at nighttime, they could just go ahead and redo it during the daytime. So therefore, they didn't make the guy go out and check on the roof, okay, has the sun rose yet? It's very easy to fix. As opposed to shechita, of course, you can't fix the shechita, so that's why they're more makbid to make sure the sun rose. So the Maya said, you're right, the Shnei Gzir Eitzim did require daytime, But they turned out, and when they went to check out, when time to shechita, they realized the sun didn't rise yet. Like, oh, maybe we did the shnei gezira eitzim too early. They just redo it again.
Right.
That's why they're more makbid to check it out. Now, I don't know what happened. Let's say the guy goes to the roof, and let's say 10 minutes ago they did shnei gezira eitzim. He went to the roof, and the sun's rising right now. I guess they could calculate how far up it was to know how long ago the shnei gezira eitzim was done, to know whether it was done within the proper time of the day or not. They had to do some type of calculation.
I think normally they did it after they saw. I mean, this is only a case that they made a mistake and then did it. I think in a normal case, they waited till they saw the light. It's just that they didn't mention because it's not because you can still fix it. But anyways, they didn't do it before. I think that's what they.
But the question: how do they know? How do they? If no one went to the roof yet until they did the shechita to check it out, how do they know when is the right time to do shnei gezira eitzim?
No, so they didn't. So once they saw that zman shechita, that's when they did the shnei gezira eitzim. If they did it before, it's a problem. So then they would redo it.
It sounds like they actually did it before, I think, from Rashi. So you look at Rashi. Rashi says, d'islai takanta. Im sijim b'layla, let's say they did it at nighttime, porkan v'chozer v'sojim b'yom. They could redo it during the daytime and just fix it. They take it off, put it back on, very easy. But so, l'chach lo etrichu la'alos l'gag l'rosim hegiyah. Therefore, they didn't make a guy go to the roof and go check it out. They did it, and then after the fact.
But it doesn't seem from the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara is telling you, listen, we would have written down that the Mamuna says go and check if it's light so that you should do the Eitzam Aracha. Why didn't he say it? Because even if they did it before, it can be fixed. That's the whole answer, I think. The whole answer is yes. We should have said the Mamuna is going to say go and check if there's light because now it's time to do the Eitzam Aracha and to do the Korban HaTamid, or which Korban are you talking
about? Yeah,
Tamid. He says, no, we only said Korban HaTamid because the other one, anyways, we have to wait, but if they did it, it can be fixed.
So, and not quite
but
like
that's
that.
That's not what Rashi's saying.
I think when, look at the Rashi where it
no,
started.
Yeah, Rashi's right. Not saying that.
But look where the lines get wide in Rashi, the first one from the three lines from the bottom of all Rashi. Of a Sidish Gizirim, Sidura Bekarka Azara, Mishehera Mizrach. The guy looks out the window. Doesn't go to the roof. It's pretty. The sun's coming up. I can look outside right now. The sun's pretty close. So they'll go do the shnei gezira eitzim, but they don't double check on top of the roof. What happens is, we'll see in tomorrow's daf. Imta b'mor levana, they miscalculated because the beams of the moonlight was really coming out. They really misread it. Lo ichpas l'nsharei yesh takana b'davar. So they saw it looked sunny out. So they did it. They just double checked on top of the roof when it came time for the shechita. If they double checked on top of the roof. Like, oh, we made a mistake. That's actually the moonlight. So then they'll go ahead and fix the shnei gezira eitzim. But if they went to the top of the roof and they realized that, no, this is actually the sunlight, okay, the shnei gezira eitzim was done, and let's do the shechita now because we're sure it's time for the zman shechita. Okay, so maybe we'll, this is Ikadamri, maybe we'll just stop here, I guess, Ikadamri here, and then we'll pick up tomorrow. Okay. Maybe finish the parak
So a little
tomorrow.
Bit, the answer of the Gemara is not